Brown Booth, and I appreciate him. Sarah is a wonderful missionary. I could say a lot more about her. She's a friend, a prayer warrior, but I'm just going to let her share with you right now her vision, her and her ministry. I'll be quiet for a moment.
Thank you. Yes, Child Evangelism Fellowship is worldwide. We are in every country but North Korea. So pray for North Korea. But I am your local area, Lafayette area missionary. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to challenge you. See, you are our partners in the gospel from the first day till now. From the very beginning, there was no CEF ministry in this area for over 15 years. And you are the first church that came forward as we want to be part of this. We want to do this ministry. So I had the privilege of growing up as a preacher's kid. One of the coolest things about that was when the missionaries came to speak at our church, they stayed at our house. And we heard the amazing stories. Every story said, this is what God is doing. And they were amazing. And every missionary has those stories. And every missionary has those stories from 2 years ago and 3 months ago and today. Because our eyes are open and we're continually seeing God work. Now, what I want to do is challenge you all to make your calling greater. See, if you know Christ as your Savior, God has given you gifts and abilities. He's your creator. He gave you those gifts and abilities to serve Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, and this is fun to teach to the children, because whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. See, you have those gifts and abilities to share them for the glory of God. So in teaching kids, what did you just eat? You had breakfast this morning, you ate cereal. So whether you eat cereal, so you do this with hand motions, and you completely got the verse. Whether you eat cereal, or you drink your coffee, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. See, this is how you are to live your life. So one, you've been given gifts and abilities from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, about 8 years ago, friends of ours from Ukraine, Levi and Nastia, were visiting Indiana. And they're very dear friends of ours. And we knew their list of prayer requests. But as close friends, I said, Levi, how can we pray for your family? And he said, pray for the children in Crawfordsville. Because he was from Crawfordsville. He knew Crawfordsville. He comes back and he visits those same youth that he went to youth group at church with, who are far away from God because they didn't follow God. He said, pray for the children in Crawfordsville. Well, we as a family started praying for children in Crawfordsville, having no idea that God was actually going to use our family to reach kids for Jesus in Crawfordsville. About the same time, I knew God telling me, you need to teach others how to teach children for Jesus, how to share Jesus with kids. And my husband said to me, well, how did you learn how to teach kids? And I remembered I was a summer missionary when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. In the summertime, I would go to backyards. There'd be a whole group of kids, and I would teach them the Bible lesson and the memory verse. That's how I learned how to teach kids. So at that time, I called CEF. And that began that learning process. But here's what I want to encourage you in. One, you've been given gifts and abilities to use for the glory of God. Two, you're not doing it on your own. See, Levi and Nastia are praying for kids in Crawfordsville. Your church was praying for kids at that elementary school right down the road. So, three times in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, who are my mother and brothers and sisters? Now, why does he say that? As encouragement. Your burdens are not only on your shoulders, they're on mine. They're on Pastor Dan's. They're on your church families. Likewise, the service of ministry is not only mine and that team that you saw here and Pastor Dan's, but it's what we all share together. I began visiting churches when I started training with CEF, and I was in churches that the pastor said, I cannot sign your statement of faith. And I said, God, why'd you send me to those churches? Well, it was to open my eyes, to recognize that there are churches who cannot sign our statement of faith. Our statement of faith can be summarized in one sentence. I believe the Bible is the word of God and you can count on everything in it, and it came from God. There are plenty of churches out there that will not sign that statement of faith. God took me to those churches to open my eyes, to recognize there are churches out there who will not stand on the word of God as God's authority. And when I called your church, I left a message on the answering machine and I got a phone call, and I'll never forget it. You know, there's times that God makes these incredible miracles and you can remember them like they just happened 2 minutes ago. I was driving to a meeting in Westfield and my phone rang, and it was Sonora. And I said, here's why I called. And she said, you can teach kids in schools. You have got to talk to Pastor. Let me give you his cell phone. You have to call him. You have to set up a meeting. So I call Pastor and we set up a meeting. And I have been praying for getting us in schools. And your church was praying for getting you in schools. That's what we see. So one, God gives you gifts and abilities. Two, God is preparing the other people that are working alongside you. So we initially said, okay, let's get our team ready. We're going to go in this school right down the street. And I had trouble getting a hold of the principal. And Pastor said, so what should we do next? And I said, pray. So Sonora calls me and she says, we have a prayer meeting set up. Our pastor has a team coming in. Tuesday afternoon, we're going to pray. I came to join you, and your church prayed. And it was beautiful because what your church prayed was, God, here we are. You know we want to go in that school right over there, but here we are. We want to serve you. Take us wherever you want. Thursday morning, my phone rang. Hi, this is Principal Gabe Bauer from Wea Ridge Elementary. Come on in, let's talk. And when I got there, he said, when do you want to start? It was that. We told God, we want to serve you. You put the pieces together. And God gave us exactly what we wanted. We have seen kids get saved. We have seen lives changed. Firsthand, I mean, open your eyes. And God's working miracles every day. There are three things that you need to do. And I want you to ask God how you do any of those three. One, you need to serve. Now, you should know how to share the gospel. And if you don't, we can teach you. Even if you're not going to be part of that Good News Club, you are welcome to come to that training and learn how to share the gospel. Because here's another verse I want to give you that is an incredible encouragement. See, God gives you gifts and abilities. God makes us a family. He prepares others the same time he's preparing you. But here is your promise from the scripture in Romans. Chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. See, it doesn't have to be your words. It's not that you have to have some special knowledge. It is the power. The gospel message is the power of salvation. What those ladies do is God's words. So you have that promise that we all work together. Now, how can you serve? Learn how to share the gospel. And if you tell me, Miss Sarah, I work from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, and I barely have time to sit down and eat dinner with my family, then praise the Lord, God has called you to reach into your pocketbook and write a check to support missions. There are plenty of us who also have that calling that God has provided an income. And I'm not saying give to missions instead of your church. Your pastor and his family like to eat the same as we all do. And the church wants to pay the light bill same as you do at home. So you got to give your tithe to the church. But I'm talking about sacrifice. I'm talking about maybe you don't need expensive coffees. You need to help a missionary out. Our summer backyard Bible clubs are taught by youth. Maybe you want to sponsor a youth. Youth, if you're called to serve this summer, you let your pastor know. You let your youth leaders know. Because some of us need to be supporting the youth. Some of us, and you can send your money to Pastor Howe. You can just write missions on your check, and your church makes sure that it goes to the right missions. But you've got to be giving to missions. If God blesses you financially, you have to understand that is from God, and you need to use it for the glory of God. Now, third, and this is an easy one. If you turn in your Bibles to the very end of the book of Psalms, and Psalms is generally right in the middle. Now go to the very end. Psalm 150, the very last verse. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Third, you need to pray. You need to pray for your pastor and his family. You need to pray for your church. 3:30 in the afternoon, you pray for that team. Now, if you go to church on Sunday, and you might go to church on Wednesday, and you don't ever tell anybody about God, you know what? Satan doesn't care what you're doing. You are a casual Christian. You're just going about life, saying, I'm going to heaven someday. Praise the Lord. As soon as you start praying for that good news club, as soon as you start reaching into your pocket to give to missions, I'm telling you, Satan has his eye on you, because you are affecting the power of God with your prayers and your service to God. So when I really prayed about, God, what do I want to share with this church? I have seen so many miracles. It's just like the psalmist writes. There's not enough room to put it down on paper. And John said that twice. He said the volumes can't hold it in the whole world. That's the kind of miracles that we've seen. Even just 2 weeks ago, I had a phone call from a pastor that said, Sarah, I am sorry, but I don't think we have enough for our good news club team. What should I do? And I said, you know what? My devotion this morning was about Elijah. And it said, Elijah was just going about his regular things to do that day. And God worked powerful, miraculous ways. I said, you go about your day and you pray. I'm going about my day and I'm praying. And while I was on the phone with him, he said, hey, I keep getting texts. I got to go. I said, okay. 30 minutes later, he called me back. He said, we got to schedule training. We have 7 people for our team. Let's put it together. See, that's what God does. I could talk to you the rest of the day. We'd be getting lunch in here, telling you the miracles that I have seen. And the exciting thing that I get to do is allow those to be the miracles that you all get to see. So your team sees miracles right down the street. So one, you ask God how you're going to serve. Two, you give financially to missions. And three, if you have breath in your lungs, you pray and you praise the Lord. And those verses in Philippians, every time you read that, you know that's my prayer for you, because you are that church that is coming alongside us, working with Christ, with the power of the gospel for salvation for kids in our own backyard. And I thank you so much for that.
Stay with Ms. Sarah. Stay with me. I think I got my mic. Yes, I did. Thank you, Dave. I want to pray for you. And ladies, I know I just had you sit back down. The team, can I get the team to come back up here again? Because I would love for you all just to be around her. Lay hands on Sarah and let's pray over her. And church, would you stand with me? We're going to pray with her. Now, you're not being dismissed. Don't get excited. I know some of you are like going, hallelujah, we got lunch early. Gather around her, ladies. Go ahead and make a circle around Sarah. And we're going to pray over her. In fact, Miss Sue, Can I ask you, would you pray? Can I give you a microphone? Would you pray? Miss Sue kind of helps lead our group pretty well, and I'm going to have her pray.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you have given us to be able to support this ministry. And as they say, we are all in.
Yes.
We are willing to share the gospel, to take the time, and to teach others. Dear Lord, we can't be so thankful in our lives for how you work. Mm. And Miss Sarah has been a wonderful leader to be able to help us, to be able to show us what to do as God has directed her, and he continues to direct this team. We are so thankful for the youth that has been provided also. And dear Lord, we are so grateful for all that you have done and all those people who have provided their support at the school. Yes. And the children that have come. Dear Lord, we are just overjoyed with what you have done in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Children's Church, you may be dismissed, and everyone, you may be seated. I want to thank Miss Karen is going to go, and thank you, Miss Karen, for leading that and teaching that. As I come up here, that's beautiful. Someone left me a looks like a page marker. That's beautiful, and I have a feeling I know maybe who did that, but thank you. If I don't, I guess I don't know because I don't know who left it up here, but I think it was Jim. Am I right? Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you, Jim. And I got a note up here as well, but Jim, you didn't write this note because it says, love your wife. So you can love your wife, Jim, but it says it's to me about saying that she's praying for me, that I'm to preach. That's, thank you. All right, folks, let's open our Bibles together this morning. Amen. Take your Bibles and let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to spend the balance of our time in Philippians chapter 3 today. And as you can hear in my voice, I've got a little bit of a cold and I'm trying to, it sounds worse than what it is. I've actually felt better today and yesterday than what I have throughout the week, but for some reason, you know how the colds are. They just kind of start to, you know, linger and make it sound bad. So if I cough a little bit, I'll try to cough your direction. No, not cough your direction. I was looking at Sarah when I said that. And, you know, by the way, yeah, that Sarah, yeah, there. Well, Garrett's not there anymore. If Garrett was still there, so he's my fan. So, you know, he was excited about his pastor. Philippians chapter 3, we've been journeying through this. Verse 12 is where we're going to begin today, and I want to read these verses to you. Beginning in verse 12, Paul writes, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Let's just pause right there and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a time that we can celebrate the goodness and your working in and through our lives. Lord, thank you for the testimony and the encouragement and the challenge from Sarah. Pray God, that you would continue to bless her ministry and bless the ministry of our Good News Club and the training that Sarah offers and the work that she's doing in the other schools in the region, this region of Indiana. May you continue to bless her. Lord, this morning as we open your word together, may you speak through me. And may Holy Spirit of God, may you speak into the hearts and lives of every person in this room. Remove me from this conversation. May I decrease and may you increase. May you be glorified. May you be magnified. We pray these things in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen. We've just come down through this passage and I feel bad about just jumping right in at verse 12, but I don't want to spend our time reviewing, but we'll just encourage you. By the way, if you have access to the internet, the sermons are there online at our website. In fact, you can go to the website and I don't know if Tim has been uploading the bulletins, but we've put them in a PDF form where they can be uploaded to the website. And so if you have access to that, you can even have your bulletin online as well as the sermons and different things like that. We also have an app that you would be welcome to use. So you can review, is what I'm trying to say, the last verses that we've talked about. But in verse 12, he begins and continue, in some respects, continuing this conversation. This cough will linger, I guess, for a while. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Paul is reminding us, and the fact that he's written about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of Christ over the death itself, and the fact that the life that Christ leads us in may not be this flowery life, but he says that the fellowship of his sufferings, in other words, that we would identify with Christ. He's going on though and saying, not that I've already attained. In other words, what he's trying to say is, now just because I've given you, and by the way, back up in this passage, he talks about his experience and saying all of these things that you know, in case someone was trying to say that by their goodness or by their religious life that they could have, that they should be praised. Paul listed some of those things in this passage, but he goes on, he's trying to be clear that he's not arrived already. And this is sometimes a mistake in the Christian walk, in the Christian life. It's people after so many years or after a little bit of time, they think, well, I've arrived. I'm okay. I can kind of retire in Jesus. I can be this place where I've learned enough and I don't really need to go any further. I already know this. I've been told different times by people, in fact, very early on, and not someone who's here in present day, but I was told by a person, they said, you know, you're no longer a missionary. You need to learn. We don't need those Bible studies. We aren't heathens. I'm not sure that would be a correct statement, but this person was trying to say, you know, we've already arrived. We know the stuff. You just need to go after the lost. Don't worry about us. And that's actually a huge mistake. And it's something that Satan would try to lie into your life and try to tell you, well, you're okay where you are. You've arrived at this plane of goodness and Christian form, and you can just kind of coast on in to Jesus. There's not this place, and Paul would be one of those that, you know, if you could say somebody's attained this, and this is what he says, I'm not already attained, nor am I already perfected, but I press on. In other words, he's saying that I'm moving forward. I'm leaning in. I'm going forward. And this is what's happening in these verses, is he's reminding us that this is not an idle, an idle faith that we have in Christ. And you can read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, when it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This is not something that where we just arrive and all of a sudden, boom, we're done. We're continuing on. We're pressing on. We're moving forward. It's that race that he uses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we may turn to there in just a little bit, because he's talking about a race and a runner. When I think about this and I think about somebody who, you know, who they're pressing toward that mark. They're going down that goal. This is what he's saying here already. He's saying, I press on. I'm moving forward. I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He's saying, I'm not going to be idle. I'm not just going to stand still. I'm not just going to lay down and become comfortable in my life and lazy in my Christianity. But I'm going to do these things for the gospel where I am today, trusting, obeying, honoring, loving, living for God's plan, God's purpose, His way, His will, His word, His work in and through us. We make every effort and letting understand that God has taken hold of us. And by faith, we move forward into the future, into Christ. And this is where he goes on when he says, brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended. See, he says, I've not already attained. I've not already apprehended. He is admitting that he's not arrived at the finish line. He's not there at the goal line and saying, okay, I'm all done. There's a song, the contemporary song that says, all I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. This world is not our home. The other psalm poet would write, he'd say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. It is the fact that sometimes we put our roots either too deep in the things of this world or you know, we just kind of coast in thinking, well, I know I prayed a prayer when I was a little person and I did this and I'm okay. I'm just going to coast on in. And that is not what the Christian life is about. This is not an idea that we pray and then we have a license to live. However, it is that in Christ we are new creations and we are to move forward for the things of God, because he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Now, let's go ahead. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see this because I think the analogy here will be good for us to understand. Paul writing about racing and even not just racing, but winning a prize. There's so much in 1 Corinthians 9 that I have to share this with you just out of the fact that my life verse for as long as I can remember. I remember marking this in a Bible as a young man, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. Paul would write this, and this has been my testimony. I feel that God has given in my heart, says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is to me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul had a deep burden for preaching the gospel of Christ and knowing that it was the power of God into salvation, as Sarah mentioned just a little bit ago in Romans 1:16, that is the power of God into salvation. It is not it's not the preacher's words. It's the word of God that changes hearts and lives. And Paul would write later on down in this passage, actually verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 9, if you jump down to there, it says, do you not know that those who run a race run all, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become disqualified. When Paul was writing this, what he was saying is that the discipline of the Christian life, the discipline of where he was going, he was saying that it's like a runner in a race. It's like a person who is striving for that goal line and striving to cross that finish line. Now, I know that in that idea that when he says here in Philippians 3, he says, this one thing I do, many times the discipline of the runner, the discipline of that person who's there, they will maybe wear weights and do different things and work out, but in that race, they have one goal in mind, is the finish line, of making it to the finish line. What sometimes happens though in the Christian life is that we get sidetracked by the many things. We get distracted by life and by the stuff and we forget that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful and the need is so great in the world around us. We get distracted by the stuff of the world. It's why Jesus said that it is hard for someone who is rich to obtain heaven, because we have so much stuff. In fact, when it talks about a camel, Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle. One of those is that, you know, if you think about a needle and a camel, it's obviously impossible. But also there was a gate that they talked about where a camel would have a hard time getting through this certain gate with any baggage on it whatsoever. And so the camel would have to go through, and it would be, it's just kind of an interesting analogy here of the fact that sometimes in life we've got a lot of baggage. And, you know, with a runner, you don't carry a lot of baggage. You don't carry a lot of stuff with you because you don't win a race with a lot of extra stuff on. Carrying a lot of extra baggage. Anyway, Chris Spears, I need you to come up here and show him what it looks like to be a runner. Chris runs. This young man, Chris, raise your hand just for a minute. He is a world champion racer in dogs. He's been around the world. He's been in places all around the world, Latvia and Switzerland, and I don't know. He's run all kinds of races, Canada. He's always taken and running. He sometimes ties his dog to his waist and lets the dog drag. I mean, and he runs. Sometimes the dog maybe is beside him or running like this. If our dog was doing that, our dog wouldn't move because I'd be falling down and the dog would be trying to go. But Chris has this goal. I mean, he runs and he goes. You know, when you're running a race, I'm sure that when Chris is in the middle of those races, he doesn't add weights to the dogs and to himself to slow him down. No, you strip away all the unnecessary things. Sometimes in life, we carry so much with us. And we think about, oh man, I gotta have this. And Christ is saying, if you let go, And if you just trust me, if you let me work in and through your life, you see, so many times we grab hold of stuff and we hold on because we think, well, this is my treasure. When in reality, if we'd let it go, God would fill us with greater treasure than we could ever imagine. Paul will write this to this church later in this letter. We'll read about God's supply and God's provision. But there are so many times when the reason that we struggle in life is not because of God withholding his goodness, is because we don't even allow God to give us, because we've got so much other stuff with us. Paul is trying to tell us this. When you turn your attention back to Philippians 3, he says, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I don't know about you, but there are times when I love remembering the good old days. I love to remember when, oh yeah, remember back when it was, and I can tell you the story of, and oh man, it was such a good time. I'll give you, for instance, it was an amazing time. My sisters were in trouble and I was not. No. We have this idea of living in the good old days. Don't you wish it was like it was? And what Paul is saying here is we need to forget about the things that are behind, good or bad, by the way, because there's some of you that are dealing with old baggage that God has said, cast every burden on me and I'll care for you. And what we do sometimes, though, is we give it to him and then we pick it right back up and we carry it. And he's saying, you know, today, let me have that burden in your heart. You know, today, you don't have to keep looking back at that and living in that shame or dealing with that. There are times, I'm telling you, I've been over at Purdue this past week and was in a meeting with the university religious leaders, and they're saying just the uptick in suicide attempts and suicide issues within the university in the past few years has just gone up extremely, and the amount of pressure that's on this world. You see, the enemy wants us to think that we are worthless vermin, that we are the vile of the earth, and we're the virus of the earth. And the enemy wants us to think that, oh yeah, all those things that you did and all this, and you're just garbage, and you're not worth anything, and wants you to just press down with being a victim. But I'm here to tell you that we have a victor who can come and release you from all of that struggle and all that pain. Some of the bitterness that you have in your heart, you need to forgive the person, maybe even who wronged you. And there are testimonies within this room of people who can say, I was wronged, I was hurt, it was horrible, but I gave it to God, and I'm free from that. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the danger of this is that if you continue to let that grow in your life and fester, it will hinder you, and it will keep you, and it will overwhelm you, and it can even kill you physically. But it can also just diminish your Christian walk and your Christian life. And I believe it's important that we learn. I have these four points about our past. One of those is you can learn from your past, but don't repeat it. You can give thanks for your past. Don't regret it. You can build on your past. Don't live in it. But dream about your future, not your past. You see, no matter how good yesterday was, it's gone. But also no matter how bad yesterday was, it's gone. God's mercies are new every morning. New, not old, not rehashed. They're fresh. They're new. We need to learn and grow and move on. And if that means to forgive and give thanks, because you see, God is a God of the future. God is a God of the fact that we're living today. This gift that we have, the present that we have within us that is here today, it's the only thing that we have. But also the fact that we need to press on. We need to stop looking behind, and we need to reach forward to what God is doing for us and moving forward. Pressing, as he says there in verse 14, press toward the mark of the prize, or the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. You see, all of us are reaching and striving for something. Some of you are just simply striving till lunchtime. You know, you're striving, oh man, you know, just that if I could have, and this is really the case. I'm the same way. You know, God, if I could just have just this much, then I could, I'd even be willing to give, I'd give some more. I'd write a check to Sarah Carlson and Pastor Howe and Pastor Noah. By the way, just a pause here, and I'll come back to this. Remind me, okay, help me get back to where I am right now about where we're at. Our Hispanic pastor, Pastor Noah Tapia, if you all know of a home, their home sold in Logansport this past week. We've been praying about this. Their home sold. They closed on the house on Friday. They have three children and a dog. Three children and a dog. They need a home to live in here in Lafayette. They'd like to live in this area where their kids would go to McCutcheon High School and Southwestern, but they're needing a place to live. They need a home. Now, they're not looking to come live in your home, but if you know of a house that's for sale, if you know of a house that's for rent, because they're recognizing that the buying market sometimes gets gobbled up real fast. But pray about that. If it's something that you might know, let me know, and I'll help get in touch with them, because they've had a number of appointments to come down to Lafayette to see houses, and they're just gone just so quick. So, but anyway, when we get stuff, this would be the thing. God, if you just give me an extra house, I'd give part of it at least to Pastor Noe. You know, we think about, you know, what if. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you know, Pastor, if I won the lottery, well, okay, but what are you doing with what you got? You know, so many times we live in the what ifs, or, you know, man, if I just had this, or if I could just do this, you know, God, if you just gave me the ability to be a chemist, I could, you know, I don't know, I could cure those diseases. You know, it's, we want what we don't have, but we're not willing to use what we have or to be the person that God has called us to be. We get distracted by the stuff that's out there that the enemy wants us to be distracted with. And God is interested in who we are, in where we are, and how we're living this life and pressing toward the mark. You see, we're all going somewhere. What's your goal? What's your prize? What is it that you're saying, hey man, this is what I'm looking for? Because Paul was writing on, and he was saying, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying, my goal and my prize is Christ Jesus. If you remember in Hebrews chapter 13, it tells us that we need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, we're writing the pages of our life. Man, and on the pages of our life, the things that God is doing and how, you know, God, no, well, let's let God be the author. Maybe he would write something a little bit different than you and I, because sometimes I'm going to do this because that's what I want. I am having chocolate this afternoon. Ice cream. Cookies. My girl, oh, Deanna made cookies this week. Man. Yeah, I think there's cookie dough. How many of y'all eat cookie dough? The rest of you are missing out. Hallelujah. Cookie dough is from heaven. I'm telling you. And yeah. So anyway, you see, we like to write our own plan though. It's like, I've got my own. And what we should do is we should stop and say, God, how can I serve you? In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus talks about the harvest of souls that are in the world. And he says that the harvest of souls is plentiful. That there are people that are waiting to hear the truth of God's love and of his salvation. You see, the problem isn't the harvest. What he said, though, the problem was, is that there are no laborers to go into the harvest. There was an old psalm that talked about saying that my house is full, but my fields are empty. And Jesus is saying, who will go and work for me today? See, what happens is we get saved and we come to this place of knowing Jesus is our Savior and we sit down at the table and we're ready to feast. And he's saying, hey, who's going to go and work in the labor fields? And who's going to call the others who need to hear the salvation that you have found? And that is our opportunity. To take the Word of God with the Holy Spirit of God and to share the love of God with the world around us. Maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You might have some religious form, you might have some understanding, but you have never repented of your sins and called upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I would encourage you, if you've got a question about that, if you need to make that decision, that you would make that decision today, or that you would at least talk to someone before you leave this place today, because we would love for you to know how you can know the forgiveness of your sins, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, that you can have the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the focus of what Paul was writing about in this passage, and in fact it bounces on from there, he says that it is the citizenship, that it is where we belong, further on in this passage, in Philippians 3, when he says that verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verse 20 of Philippians 3. I understand that probably the majority of you are United States citizens. You're citizens of this country. And we pledge allegiance to a flag. But I'm here to just ask you, do you ever pledge allegiance to the citizenship you have in heaven? In Christ Jesus? Have you ever thought about the fact that, you know, this world is not your home, that you are just passing through, that this life is a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away, as James writes in the book of James, that you can understand that the brevity and the frailty of life. You know, there were some young people in our community here that were going to school just a few days ago, and they had a tragic accident, and their lives were gone. You need to pray for those families, those mamas and those daddies who would send a child to school that day and then to have that phone call, to have that conversation, to recognize that child is never coming home again. You see, we all think I've got plans. My calendar's full. Well, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We're all going to have that appointment. We maybe don't know when that is, but are you ready? You see, we got plans all over the place, but have you planned for your eternity? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If the heart within your chest were to stop beating right now and you'd find yourself in the presence of God, would he allow you into heaven? And if your answer is, I don't know, I'm not sure, I hope so, then I would ask you to take time today to make sure. Because see, your answer is yes. The right answer is yes, he'd let me into heaven because I've repented of my sins and placed my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Not in the Baptist church, not in the Lord's Supper, not in any other format, not any other religious thing, not in your good works, but only in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's writing about. It is in Christ and Christ alone. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other name. We sang that already, and that his name is above all names. His name is the one. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. But if that is true in your life, if you are a citizen of heaven, are you living like it? Would the world around you know? Will your coworkers know that you're a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ by the words that you say, by the way that you act, by the attitude that you have? Would your family know? Do your neighbors know? Do those around you who see you every day, the people that you run into, the way that you maybe even treat a stranger or the family, however it is, is there any evidence that would say you are a follower, a believer, a citizen of heaven? And if not, you probably need to confess that and get things right. You may say, well, how do I declare my citizenship? How? I would say that you need to begin on your knees and praying and talking with God. And I'd be glad to talk with you about those things, about the evidence, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and faith. There is those things that we have that are evidences of the Holy Spirit of God in us. But we need to live our lives according to God's word, according to his truth, not according to our truth, but that we're pressing on, not in the things of this world, but for Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray.